handmaid when the woman took him in her mouth. He took a breath and said, Rob, let me call you back later. I let him go and called to make sure he wasn't on the road after my daughter. Rachel Redmond moved through the crowd, came back to me, not dancing, not smiling.
What bitch are you calling and talking to behind my back on my birthday?
Jake Ellis, San Bernardino business. She looked at my phone.
Code.
I told her, while I pulled her closer, cupped her butt, squeezed, and pressed my finger into the crack. She wasn't having it and pushed my hand away, eyes green, on a mission.
She said, stop trying to Ben Affleck me.
You like it when I do it.
You really need to change your code to my birthday, month, year, and day.
Should I?
The code to mine is your birth, month, day, and year, so yeah.
Didn't know that.
You never try and creep my phone?
No, why would I violate your privacy and do that?
That's what people do.
You're weird. Childish.
You're still weird.
Sometimes you find out too much, and then it's impossible to have a relationship.
Sometimes you don't know enough, and you end up living a lie.
Touché.
You know Mama don't play.
She turned my phone on, verified what I'd said, and her smile returned. She asked,
You hurt someone?
Not today.
Don't lie to me.
Not lying. Just had a sit-down dinner in Pasadena.
How much they owe?
About $200,000.
People get killed for $199,999.50 less than that.
I thought the lowest rate was for the price of cheese on a Big Mac.
You're getting too old for that life, Ken Swift.
You're too old to wear a dress that tight.
With this body and breasts like this, as hard as I work out, never.
Men are looking at you like it's dick o'clock.
Women look at me like it's clit 30.
Yeah. You have secrets.
She poked her tongue out at me and crossed her eyes, then laughed at herself.
After a few more social media fans came and went, and a dozen selfies were posted, we hit the bar. Bailey's, beers, shots. Rachel Redmond could drink. Said that was the Eskimo in her blood. She sang as we stood at the bar, danced, then put her arms around my neck. I held her booty like it was a life preserver. She loved that public display of affection. Birthday girl kissed me over and over. Old school music jammed. Total sang Kissing You. And we slow danced, grinding on each other like we were the only people in the room. And French kissed and hummed the whole song. Rachel Redmond was a fun drunk. A hot, sexy, dancing, singing fun drunk. But what I had just heard had left me disturbed. And I couldn't let it rest. I asked, When were you going to tell me about moving to London?
You mad?
Depends on what you say next.
When was this decided? I decided that this morning. I woke up alone, crying, feeling depressed. That's why I went to the gym so early. I was at the gym by 4 in the morning. You weren't in my bed. All those strangers were messaging me and sending me gifts, and all I wanted was one message from you. I wanted to wake up to you, then hoped you'd wake up and come to me. Take me to breakfast.
Sounds like you want to push restart on everything.
She moved her braids from her face in a sexy motion. I need a new start.
You're singing the national anthem at a Rams game?
I think when they play Seattle, but my agent is working to get me on the books.
Amazed, I repeated, The national anthem?
I'm not kneeling.
Your fans will hate you on Twitter.
Yeah, well... It's in my contract. If I kneel, I don't get that Jennifer Hudson paycheck.
They wrote that shit down?
In black and white. Someone else sang and kneeled, so they have shut that down.
We asked to not be killed by the cops, for the slave catchers to be held accountable, and the most powerful country came apart like a cheap suit made at a sweatshop in downtown L.A.
Soon, kneeling at sports events will be outlawed. Every black road ends in a roadblock.
White House have something to do with that?
If I kneel, they'll call me a black identity extremist.
That's a thing? I thought she was making up some shit.
It's real. It's the latest insult from the FBI. They'll probably bug my home like they did MLK.
What are they calling the boys carrying assault rifles and Confederate flags?
Activists. Cousins. Daddy. Mama. Nephew. Children of the Corn get better press.
Black identity extremists.
Now you are extreme for identifying as black. Basically, we're Muslim adjacent.
We looked at each other. Then we laughed at the idiocy and shook our heads. I said, wow. Extreme for asking not to be killed in the streets like dogs. Or whatever they are trying to call unruly Negroes these days. And they have a moratorium on kneeling.
If I went out there and did a Kaepernick, I'd probably end up on the FBI's list like Martin, Malcolm, and would get set up like Assata Shakur. They'd find that old research paper I did on Islam versus Judaism, quote things I reported about Israel and the Zionists 10 years ago, or they will pull that one Bobby Fischer quote from all the chess champion quotes on my pages.
They'll have the IRS auditing you before you drop the mic.
She sang, and my little legal issue in Alaska would be brought up. They bring up my birth name, resurrect that shit. And since I have some domestic violence in my past, even though it was directed at me, and I had to put a motherfucker in check, I'd be the poster for the black woman America loves to hate. I'm imperfect. More Claudette Colvin than Rosa Parks. They'll use that as a reason to not give me my coins. And then I'd have to send you to straighten that out.
Your fans won't care about your contract. Twitter comes down on folks hard, and black Twitter has a long memory and is less forgiving than the IRS was with Al Capone.
Bullshit. They'll get over it. If they can get over Chris Brown and R. Kelly, they can get over my not kneeling. Just book that gig. Don't want no shit. I just want to sing and add that to my resume, and now I'm about to get caught up in some damn politics. Nina Simone got caught up in politics, and they stopped playing her songs, killed her income. I need the exposure, and exposure means more money. I could use that bump. I mean, it's not like I'm Beyonce. I don't have a 10 million member beehive to back me up if I step out there in a white coat, then pull it off and have on fishnets, heels, all black leather, and rock a beret like the Panthers, fist up high.
Brothers did that in the Olympics and were ostracized. No Wheaties box for them.
On the real, you know I play chess. You know I am the queen of chess.
You play so good, you run them out of chess tournaments, crying.
In chess, something is thematic when a pattern reoccurs, which will infer it's not new because it has happened before. Paradoxically, every position in a game of chess is new after a couple of initial moves. However, you can train the eyes to pick out these patterns. When they become automatic, you begin to recognize themes over and over again. They begin to jump out at you. Themes save time. They give you leverage, an advantage. They help with memory.
Okay.
This is not new. Rejecting all black concerns, this is not new.
Recurring pattern.
But on this chessboard, when you make advancements, they change the rules. No matter what we do, no matter how peaceful we do it, the rules will always say we are wrong.
I took a breath. Sure you want to take this gig in the middle of all this controversy?
When has there ever not been controversy in some form since 1492?
I'm more concerned with you moving to the UK.
I was going to tell you.
Were you going to send me a postcard of you waving from the London Eye?
After I had everything sorted out. And it was definite. And I had lodging set up.
How would you handle a transition to London?
Same way people from all over the world come here and figure it out.
And do you know how to use a bidet?
I'll learn. I'll get a flat, start over, write more songs, sing background, and do studio work there until I get established. You can come with me, and we can both start life over together.
Become expats? What would I do across the pond the rest of my life?
What's important is I'd get you away from San Bernardino and Jake Ellis.
I don't have that kind of cash to pick up and restart my life right now.
I'd take care of you. For a year.
That's generous.
I have no problem supporting a man who loves me, especially when I love him.
How would I live overseas? You speak 4 languages. I speak 1.
Weren't you going to go to Africa?
What does that have to do with London?
You don't speak Yoruba or Oromo or Hausa or Igbo or Zulu or Shona or French, and your Amharic is awful. That English you speak here, you'd speak that same English there as we walk along the Thames. All you have to do is learn British slang, not curse, and you'll be straight.
Yeah, but this skin won't stand out in Africa.
Bullshit. Africans will know. We have African bloodlines, but our swagger is American.
Americans are the cousins of the Brits. Same type of oppression, same type of racism, another all-white government. And knowing that, You'd move me from one racism to the next.
You're afraid?
Cautious. Knowing the crimes of Britain, I am cautious.
You've lived in the same spot so long, you don't know how to leave. England is in a war with Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. You've been around the sun 43 times from the same spot. Don't be one of those people who are born and die and never travel any farther than Las Vegas. Vegas is nothing compared to the rest of the world. Vegas looks like the world turned on its side and all the junk landed in one spot. And people flock there like they are going to see the real pyramids.
It's dangerous. They have a lot of terrorist bombers over there, more than over here.
Trayvon, Sandra Bland, you know the list. We're being killed here. The cops over here make the ones over there seem like angels. You won't fear for your life if you're stopped.
Yeah, but that's different.
How? Cops over there killed like 5 people last year, and they were armed.
I hear they have gangs and stabbings on the streets over there.
All impoverished areas have gangs. Black, white, everyone. Poverty equals violence because poverty is violence imposed on the people. Starving people is an act of violence. We'd be the foreigners in another land run by the colonizers. You're scared in making up excuses. See, this is why you need me.
I hear they drink their beer warm. I mean, who does that?
They have these things called refrigerators, and they have ice makers. They call the potato chips crisps, and they eat cold beans for breakfast. So what? Ken, just pack a bag and leave. That's what I did in Alaska. I knew nothing about the lower 48, other than what I saw on television. I didn't know any black people. I did it, and I'm a woman. You know how hard it is for a woman to do that? We have other considerations, other fears, a level of fear you will never have, and I did it by myself.
British people have bad teeth and drive on the wrong side of the road.
They drive on the opposite side of the street.
Do they even watch American football over there?
Opposite does not mean wrong. Here, they teach you anything different is wrong.
They celebrate Black History in October, Mother's Day in March, and that's just wrong.
Read my lips, nigga. What's different is not wrong. It's just different.
You're serious about quitting America? You're giving up L.A. smog for London fog?
I'm tired of this reality show. Nothing going on but hate, 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 hate.
Hopefully it will end soon.
Look, I feel I've done my time here in the land of faux Christianity and extreme capitalism. If I were a white woman with all the singing lessons, with the piano lessons, with the guitar lessons, with all the dance lessons, with all the modeling, with all my heavy-handed Eritrean mother did to mold me into the version of being the woman she failed to be, with this insecure body that works out every day, sometimes twice a day, with the way I hit 5 out of 8 octaves, the way I can go toe-to-toe with Shante Moore, the way I can sing Minnie Riperton with Cy Smith, with this sachet that brings down the house, and this sexy red dress, I'd be mega famous. I'd be outselling Celine Dion on the Vegas Strip. I've conquered anorexia and beaten bulimia, both a result of a loving mother who made sure her daughter would not be fat and black. She's why I hate hot combs and perms and will never go back to using heat or the creamy crack. It's natural hair from now on until the grave. I had to learn that an eating disorder is not a diet and that self-harm does not equate to attention-seeking. I have my issues and small, embarrassing cuts in places that no one will ever see but you. I grew up with a face filled with pimples, wearing nerdy glasses around no one who looked like me. Skin too dark, hair never straight enough, sounded like a white girl, only knew white guys, and married the first one who looked at me like I was the prettiest thing on the planet. I survived that abuse and beat a murder charge. Left town with that shame heating my backside. I have my ways. I'm difficult. But at the end of the day, I'm a very talented woman, an amazing black woman. Yet, I am who they hire to sing backup for the less talented. Black women with mega-talent rarely rise beyond BET status.
You say you've done your time like you feel imprisoned here.
The biggest prison is your mind. I was imprisoned in Alaska. My mother was my warden. I love her. I will pay her bills. I will send her flowers. But I can't be around her. I understand why my father left one day and never came back. Free yourself. I want you to come with me. Get out of America. Get away from this mentality. It's not going to change. Look at the makeup of the people running the country. They have this shit on lock. Let's move on and see what else the world has to offer. Let's see what the USA looks like from the outside. Let's find some place where they don't consider kneeling as more disrespectful than the murder of black lives.
You just dropped this on me without a warning. It's a lot to think about.
We're here pretending to be Americans, but we're not. We have no constitutional rights here, no real freedom of speech. The Declaration of Independence and other documents were written by and for white men, by and for rich landowners, and blacks and browns and everyone else. We're trying to revise commandments and force ourselves to be included in that manifesto.
You've given this a lot of thought.
I'm more than a sexy, sassy, loud, and fun-to-be-with singer with an incredible ass.
No doubt.
We wake up fighting every day and acting like when they say Americans, they are talking about blacks, too. We're not Americans. And we're not Africans. We're in-betweeners, if anything. We're not enough of that to be that, and not enough of this to be this. We wake up rushing to get online to see who was killed while we slept. Enough! Let's bail and find our place in the sun.
We wake up to bad news, just like our parents did by reading the newspaper.
And just like their parents did, only it was probably by word of mouth, or by looking up at the NAACP offices in New York to see if they had the banner saying, another man was lynched.
And I had to find out you're jetting by overhearing you talk to a stranger?
Again, I will take care of you. For a year. Ironically, with some supremacists chilling like villains in the White House, I'm making bank on my aerospace stocks. He dropped a bomb and stocks damn near doubled. And if he starts a war with North Korea, my stocks will quadruple.
We didn't win the first Korean War. We didn't win Vietnam. We haven't won in Afghanistan. And now they want to go nuclear bomb to nuclear bomb against North Korea.
Win or lose, I'll be making money every time they fire a shot or drop a bomb.
My secret Republican with democratic sensibilities. What do I see in you?
I always vote for my money. If I don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
Good thing you have your own health insurance and birth control.
You call what we do birth control.
If you get pregnant that way, we're going to have a long talk.
Freak.
You like it. Can tell you grew up around them white boys.
And I get head like a white girl.
Like two white girls on E.
I know how to pull the soul out of you. This black girl is different. I know how to make you weak.
She laughed, ran her hands over her braids.
Buy me another shot, or two, or three.
I waved down the bartender, got shots, then asked, the Russian know about London?
Ken.
Does he?
I didn't invite him.
That guitar he just bought you?
Her nostrils flared as she exhaled. Can we talk about that later?
Are you keeping it?
You want to make this an issue now?
It's a simple yes or no.
Later.
Sure. Chapter 17. Then the ecstatic fan she had just met came over with a dozen fierce friends, and they gathered around Rachel and sang an amazing happy birthday at the top of their lungs. Her life became a musical broadcast live on both Facebook and Periscope. She told me she would be right back and left singing and dancing with her new friends. I found a spot that wasn't crowded and checked my phone. Jimmy Lee had called again. Margot had called, too. Still nothing from Esmeralda. I sent her a reminder text. Then I turned my phone off. Now wasn't the time to fall into my past with no safety net. And I needed to let Esmeralda do her thing. Plus, I had to deal with Rachel. Had to remain present. I went to Rachel and found her on her phone. When she saw me coming her way, she ended her call. Ended it talking in Russian. Then she was all nervous smiles. I didn't call her on her bullshit. Just let it ride. I stole her away from the clutches of her endearing fan club. Now she smelled like a cloud of freshly grown sativa. She said,
oh my God, we smoked some Charlie Sheen.
Never heard of that.
Charlie Sheen OG. They say it's the tiger blood of weed strains.
Sounded like you were on the phone talking to Putin on behalf of the president.
The ex just called.
Oh?
He saw the pictures I posted. He's jealous.
What's up?
Told him to fuck off. If he wanted it, he should have put a ring on it.
She had a cigar in her mouth, resting like a phallus. She was beyond blissful tonight, so I wouldn't complain. Just let her party until she dropped. Her phone vibrated. I felt it.
We were that close.
She ignored it.
It was the Russian calling back. That took the wind out of my sails. I shouldn't be jealous, but I was. He bought her that Gibson. I knew she wasn't going to give it back, and I wasn't going to ask her to. She had to do that shit on her own. I didn't want to bring up the Russian over and over and become preoccupied with some other motherfucker. When I was with Jimmy Lee, I had lost too much sleep. I told myself, never again. Rachel danced, and we found two seats at the bar. She moved against me like she was trying to give me an erection. I inhaled her and wanted to be inside her as deep as I could go. She scooted closer, so close we could be mistaken for Siamese twins. Then put her warm cheek next to mine, rubbed her hands on my inner thighs, massaged my rising bump, smiled, kissed my lips, put lipstick on my face, whispered, "Can I tell my sexy boyfriend something?" My cheek against hers, feeling the warmth of her face and the sweetness of her spirit's tinted breath, I said, "Have I ever been able to stop you from saying that which you want to say?"
"That which? What, are you auditioning for Shakespeare in the Park?"
"Let me sound as smart as you without you fucking with me." She crooned.
"I came over to your place, freshly shaved and moisturized, looking sexy, smelling good as hell, wanted you to see me when I walked in the door, wanted you to see me and become speechless, get an erection and lose your mind. Wanted you to take me as soon as I walked in the door. Wanted you to make me get on my knees and open my mouth. Wanted to suck you, drive you crazy. I wanted to do some of the things Skin Diamond does in her videos. I can't freak like her, but I wanted to take it to my limit. Wanted to talk dirty. Real dirty. I wanted to go full Brazzers. I wanted you to rock this ass and make me jazz. Then jazz wherever you like."
"Damn. Are you talking crazy, or the alcohol has taken over your soul?"
"Boo. I want some of that."
She kissed me.
"And I know you want some of this."
"You wanted the party, birthday girl, so let's party until the spot closes."
Almost longer than my face went hard, almost wider than my mouth. This is mine.
She rubbed my cock.
"Let's go outside. I'm going to put my mouth on you until you scream hallelujah."
I hummed in her ear. "Stop singing." She sang.
"Sucking you is all that I've been thinking of. Sucking you is so good."
"Don't mess up that classic romantic song."
"Sucking will feel better than kissing. I want to show you how I feel about you. I want to show you my appreciation and forgiveness. I want to suck you and make your brain fill with happy chemicals. Prove to you that I'm yours, all yours. Then I want you to let me ride you like a boss. Act like a lady." She sang, "Fucking you is all that I've been thinking of. You fuck me so good."
"Kill the remix."
"Let's go outside in the cool air and find a place. Take care of me. I'm nursing my drink, and we're celebrating from crotch of night to the crack of dawn."
She took my drink, finished it.
"Why are fine men always so fucking dull and boring?"
That reverse psychology is not going to work either. Her phone vibrated again. Again, she ignored the juddering. My tipsy lover pressed against me, her soft breasts all up on me, her hands as busy as the devil.
"So now you're punishing me? Is this because I didn't give you some before we left?"
I moved her braids, bit her ear. "Hard to punish you without punishing myself." She licked my lips.
"Don't move my hand. I know you want this. You know I want that. Waited all day for that. I still want that. You think I won't take it right here and right now?"
"Don't start nothing in this spot. You don't want to get the Kevin Hart treatment."
"Let's go turn this dress into a Lewinsky."
"Your classy, educated ass has a few drinks and starts acting like a thoughtless thought."
"Call our Uber XL. Be nice, and I'll give you some roadhead until we get home."
"In Chicago, Uber drivers get roadhead, not passengers."
"Ubers are the new mobile snooty foxes. Everybody has quickies in Ubers."
"We'll add that to my bucket list."
"Did you know that only 30% of women swallow? I'm a minority."
I rubbed her legs. Talkative,
giggling, singing, drinking like a fish, acting silly.
Hashtag, I love your fat penis. Hashtag, that length. Hashtag, girth matters. Hashtag, wider than my mouth. Hashtag, made for a long-time partner. Hashtag, and I'm the long-time partner it's made for. Hashtag, take me outside, find a spot, and give me some balls deep.
Hashtag, you must be ovulating. Faded and ovulating.
Hashtag, and if you weren't around, masturbating.
You do that while we're doing it anyway. When you're face down, ass up, you have the right hand down there working it out while I long stroke. That shit is your favorite position. I hate you. I sucked her tongue. Ovulating. And you want daddy all up in that? She laughed.
When a woman is ovulating, that's when she's the horniest.
I bit her ear again, kissed her cheek. Stop. People can see what you're doing.
Let me check you off under the table. Let me see if you can keep a straight face while I help you lower your chance of heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. Sex does that, you know.
Stop. Your social media fans are enjoying recording the show with their phones. Someone will end up trying to blackmail you when you blow up.
I want to blow you. Stop it. Your dick is amazeballs. And it's straight like a baseball bat. No curve.
Stop it.
I want some of this right here to end my birthday night.
Stop rubbing and feeling me out before you make me get hard.
Before you set free 5 million swimmers.
Alaska, stop.
I'm gonna ride you and make your toes curl up like fists.
Keep talking that talk.
I'm gonna make this a 3-whole night for you.
3-whole night?
I'm wet.
You're drunk.
Touch me. Touch me. Touch me.
Touch yourself.
Put your trigger finger inside me and make that come here motion.
You are an aggressive drunk.
We're gonna role play tonight. You will be Black Panther and I'm gonna be Storm. You're gonna pull my braids and choke me and long stroke the mutant out of this little bitch. I'll set my Fitbit and count calories while you slap this ass. Be ready.
I want 30 minutes of hot sex to burn off 200 alcoholic calories, and I want my headboard banging workout to end with a skeet of nitrogen, fructose, lactic acid, ascorbic acid, and inositol.
Hashtag protein shot.
Since you know so much, how many calories will be in that protein shot? She Googled.
25. You know I have to monitor my caloric intake.
Someone is definitely ovulating. I do get nasty every now and then, don't I? You think?
But you're nasty, Mississippi ass. You love my groceries like a fat boy loves cake.
You make me wonder about the rest of the women up in Alaska.
And to burn off the alcohol, we can run a 10K tomorrow when we wake up.
I put my hands between her thighs. We can burn another 200 calories in bed. She hummed.
That will work. But I'm still going to the gym. Can't let myself get fat.
I traced the outline of her vagina. Happy birthday, boo. She quivered, brought her lips to mine. Butterfly kisses.
Best birthday ever.
I sucked her lips while my fingers did the walking. Best girlfriend ever. Love you.
Love you too.
Arms around my neck. She hummed.
You're gonna make me cry.
Let me see if you can keep that straight face. She leaned into me, did kegels on my finger.
You're gonna make me come.
Want me to stop?
You're gonna make me come. You're gonna make me come. You're gonna make me come. You're gonna make me come.
I stirred her, and she bit her bottom lip as she rubbed my cock, held on to it, stroked me through my clothes, kept it hot until our round of drinks and shots came. She was near rapture, licking lips, rapping.
Not gonna hide from that D. Too big, stroke strong, make me moan for that dick.
Yeah? She rapped on.
I'll skydive for that D. No parachute, legs open, trying to land on that D.
Ouch.
Wake up for that D. A cooking breakfast, but naked, mouth ready for that dick.
I laughed at her inebriated, offbeat, improvised rapping. She kept rubbing me, said,
do one for me. Make one up for me.
I'll fly for that P. First class, dick hard, feeling hard for that P.
Not too bad. One more. Please, 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 one more.
Hmm, I'll catch a case of that P. In jail, no bail. What? Now another D in that P? I stopped and shook my finger like I was a Jay-Z meme come to life. Hell no. Oh, hell no. She laughed. I laughed. We kissed. We were tipsy and silly. She said,
I've had a being Mary Jane life, but I want a this is us kind of love.
Yeah, me too.
We can do this, you know. We can do this.
This is what a good love felt like. She was with me. Not with the Russian. She asked,
why are you looking at me like that?
Like what?
All primal.
That body.
Not the dress?
The body in that dress is what makes the dress worth looking at.
The dress is mine, but this body is your body if you want to get me bodied tonight.
Oh, you're going to get bodied, then I'm going to be all up in that body. A Cardi B song came on, and the room was once again set on fire. Every sophisticated woman went hood rat, and every pussycat doll rapped the lyrics to Bodak Yellow like it was their national anthem. Rachel Redmond was up in my face, pointing in my face, making antagonistic faces, acting it out, while I did the Millie Rock. Women all over the spot were trying to outdo each other. A few Barbara Streisand-loving men were in their hard-leg lovers' faces, doing the same. Rachel made me feel 21 again. Reminded me of back in the day when I was in the club with Jimmy Lee and Ice Cube's No Vaseline came on and we turned it out. I did the Humpty Hump with Jimmy Lee, did the Running Man with her. I had to move beyond being the divorced man who couldn't get over his ex. I wish those nights with Jimmy Lee had been spent with Rachel instead. Everything here reminded me of Jimmy Lee. That apartment, and now Margot. Maybe I needed to leave and go to London. Just take a chance on a new life. Maybe I needed to swipe left on everything. Because everything I had loved had swiped left on me a long time ago. I looked at Rachel and my heart was on fire. She glowed when she looked at me. That aroused me. The way she loved me aroused me. When we sat again, I put my finger inside Rachel, stirred her, made her leg tremble. Rachel's eyes tightened with desire and she moaned, I want you down my throat. No.
I'll swallow. Hell, I'll gargle if that makes my boo happy.
Stop being nasty.
You're fingering me like you're a pervert, and I'm nasty? Look at me. Keep a straight face. If you don't get too rough, when we get home, you can double-cross my pussy.
You're drunk and vulgar.
I'm affectionate when I'm being finger-fucked.
Let the D go. Stop fluffing me.
I will when you stop fingering me.
No one can tell you're turned on.
Shit. My fat nipples are hard. They look like baby dicks growing out of my boobs. Don't get me hard. I don't care if they can see your dick print. I want them to know what I'm working with.
You like this.
I love this.
Look at your face. The way you bite your lip is so sexy. She moved my hand from between her legs, put my finger in my mouth, fed me, then leaned and kissed me, sucked the taste of her arousal from my tongue, then sucked my finger.
She sang, you love putting me on my belly, so you can invade Africa when you come.
Can you be a little louder? She sang louder.
I'm horny, and tonight I want to ride my man and make his toes curl.
People near us laughed and applauded. I laughed and shook my head. Rachel Redmond laughed the hardest, moved her braids, and kissed me again. She was impossible not to love. She said,
I'm ready for some leg shaking, cursing, nails in skin, booty being slapped. Oh, yeah, baby, don't stop. I want 3 orgasms before you bust a nut, and you can nut all over me.
Damn, boo.
Or in my ass. You love to nut in my ass.
No pregnancy scares that way.
I ain't complaining. The way you eat mom's pie, I ain't complaining about nothing.
Eat you so good, I drive you crazy.
And you body me so strong, you had me breaking in your house and waiting for that D.
We laughed, and she rubbed me, masturbated me through my pants. That was why the Russian was buying her presents and blowing up her phone. Men wanted a woman like this. She sang,
when we get home, I want to master blaster, smoke while you stroke.
What do you have now, sativa or indica?
Holland's Hope, indica-dominant hybrid. My fans hooked me up big time.
Don't get addicted on that shit that had black folks getting put on lock for decades.
Boo, I'm addicted to your loving. Got me breaking your locks to get me some cock.
I gave her soft, gentle kisses. Not too much tongue at first. Then it was as if we were famished, bit by bit losing control. Rachel Redmond was the woman I should have been with 2 decades ago. I'd marry her tonight. Alcohol had me feeling that way. I kissed her eyes, worked down her cheeks, and licked the edges of her lips. Made her chase my tongue, and when she finally caught it, she sucked it, gently. And we lingered a while, nibbling and playing. I sucked her tongue like I was sucking her clit, and that made her lose it. She sucked my tongue like she was talking to the mic. Blood rushed from my brain, and it was all down south. Rachel downed her alcohol, chugged mine, did our shots, grabbed my crotch, dragged me through the crowd, blew farewell smooches to her fans, and hurried me toward the exit. A moment later, we were outside, in the open air, hidden in the shadows, cars, buses, and metro trains zooming by in the distance, the glow from the dramatic lights at the Staples Center not far away. We kissed and kissed. She held my stiff cock, rubbed me, masturbated me through my clothes while I nibbled at her neck, sucked on that spot that made her croon. Her knees buckled and her inner thighs shook. She let my cock go, shivered, then exhaled in a way that told me she wanted more. I worked a breast out of her dress, licked one, then sucked the other nipple. My hand moved between her thighs. I massaged her heat through that red dress. Her legs opened. Then I pulled her dress up, moved her panties away, got a finger inside. She was damp. Heat rising like the morning sun over Acapulco. I was hotter than times in 1929. She moved against my hand. I fingered her, suckled her breasts, and massaged that pearl, then looked in her eyes as she wiggled on my digit. She took my finger from inside her, sucked it hard, sucked until the juice was gone. Kissed me as she reached for my pants, undid my belt. I hiked up her red dress, and we tried to have sex perpendicular, doing it standing up, between buildings, fully dressed, wearing hard shoes. Tipsy, with a drunk Afro-Alaskan. That shit wasn't as easy as it looked in the movies. I was almost back inside her, then paused when 12 people walked by. They didn't see us. I lifted her up, and the horny drunk wrapped her legs around me. She pulled her panties to the side, then cooed when I broke the skin. She said my name like I was her greatest sin. She made sounds like she was drowning, then opened her eyes, looked in my face, smiled, swallowed. I held her, made her bounce up and down, made her jewelry sing, made the change in my pockets join the choir on the break. I looked into her eyes and sang the happy birthday song to her. Cool desert wind blew across our damp skin. Let me down, Bo. Let me down. She eased down, meandered in a circle, took a lighter out of her little clutch purse, flipped the Zippo open, lit her cigar, made the air smell like we were in Snoop D.O. Double G's home, put the Zippo back, then puffed. Rachel Redmond laughed, happy, then staggered and put her left hand against a wall. She puffed, made smoke rise around her like she was the boss of all bosses. Rachel came back to me, stroked my erection while she smoked, masturbated me, then got down on her haunches, squatted, inhaled her kush, then took me in her mouth as she exhaled smoke.
You like that?
My vocabulary was reduced to indecipherable sounds and curt moans. She whispered,
"That's right, baby. I got your ass singing like Peebo Bryson."
She played me like Coltrane playing his horn. It was beautiful, like a love letter written by Shakespeare. She sang,
"Sucking you is all I've been thinking of. Sucking you is so good."
I moaned like I was her background singer. She made it sloppy, made my toes curl inside of my shoes. Her head bobbed, and she licked and sucked like it was National Ice Cream Day. Then she moved her hands to my thighs for balance, her gag reflex getting the better of her. She hummed,
"I want some of this holy water."
"Yeah?
Quench this fire. Pour it all over me. You got the fever, and I got it bad. You know how I get every now and then.
Nature takes control of you right before your period." "Period? You heard me." She laughed.
"They should call mine a sentence. Once a month, coochie on lockdown."
A group of intoxicated Korean tourists stumbled out of nowhere, caught Rachel on her haunches, my shaft down her throat as her braids swayed with her wicked rhythm. They yelled in their language, then cheered and applauded as they guffawed. Rachel looked at them, my cock in her hand, stroked me, and she told them,
"Fuck off. Go somewhere and do some calculus or mechanics and special relativity."
She damned them all, told the voyeurs to get all the way the fuck out of our business, and when they didn't, she flipped them off. Went back to playing the sax, double-timing, until I reached for her and got her to turn me loose and stand up. She cursed her audience, called them tight-eyed perverts, yanked her red dress down, stumbled, picked up her cigar, almost lost her balance again. Her breasts fell out, and she tried to get her C-cups covered up again. I was too dizzy to help. She struggled with the girls while I battled and limped and fought to fit my Valerian steel back inside my pants. We left in a hurry, the happy birthday girl laughing too hard and unable to run drunk in heels. My dick was hard, and I was lightheaded. Her high heels clacking through broken darkness, Rachel Redmond zigzagged back into lights that made L.A. Live as bright as the obnoxious Las Vegas Strip. Rachel cackled, staggered, wiped her mouth, licked the corners of her lips, tossed her braids to the side, then pumped a fist and yelled,
"Best birthday ever! Happy birthday to me!"
We hurried away with her yelling at Siri to open the goddamn Uber app. She stood in front of me, faced me, hid my erection.
"You have pussy breath."
"Your pussy. And you have dick breath."
"Your dick."
She kissed me again, mixed our flavors.
"Can't wait to get you home."
My balls are so blue, they're about to turn black.
"You didn't come. That's what it felt like when I was waiting on you all day. Like that."
She moved against my erection.
"You're torturing me." "I know. I wanted to make you come, but I don't want holy water all over my dress."
"Buy you a new dress." Rachel grinded against me.
"I'm gonna love you so damn good."
"No freaky business in the Uber."
"Nigga, if you'd driven your BMW, I'd have given you the best roadhead ever."
"As thirsty as you're acting, I doubt if we would have made it inside the car."
"I'm thirsty for you. This fever is strong, so hot for your holy water to quench my thirst."
"I'm gonna get you on your back, have your ankles at your neck.
Then what?"
"Make you rock back and forth against my tongue in slow motion.
You know I love that shit.
I love it more than you do. Could do that all night.
Tongue takes me to Jesus. But I want you inside me. I want to be inside you. After that ankle thing, I want you inside me.
Balls deep. Your cock is huge."
"The better the fuck you with, my dear." "The way you fuck me makes me feel like I'm deep in prayer, like I've been taken to some holy place, transported to the Ganges River, and your love washes away all of my sins. I come, and I feel like I'm dying, and I am experiencing a holy liberation. No other man makes me feel that way. No one but you, Ken Swift. I'm yours. I am all yours, as long as you will have me."
"Damn.
And that makes me want to suck you the way I do. Makes me love you with my mouth. Want to wake up your soul. To make you feel as weak for me as I fucking feel for you."
"Damn.
That all you got? Come here. Love it when you put your hands all over my ass like that in public.
Do you?"
"I do. I want men to see me happy and let every bitch know you belong to me."
"I want to take you and find another spot and finish what we started."
"Uber is 2 minutes away. Get me home, and I have a spot you can look for."
We stood on the side of the busy street, in a crowd, the promise of intense thrumming between us, in our breathing, in our eyes, in the way she squeezed her thighs to keep her desire from being unleashed, kissing like we own the world, waiting on our Uber. Her nostrils flared with every breath, and mine did the same. Lust, and the need to come, suffocating us both. Birthday girl was ready for that D, and this D was ready for that P. Chapter 18. Less than 20 minutes later, we stumbled up the stairs in my building, loud as hell, kissing, feeling each other up. By the time we made it inside my spot, birthday breasts had been fondled and licked like candy. We closed the door, hard. Her elegant outfit was bunched up around her waist. I bent her over, had her pretty face pressed against the front door, her panting deep, desperate, anticipatory, breathing that matched mine as I tried to get balls deep inside her.
Put it in. Stop playing with me and put it in. Put it all the way in.
I pushed. She was wet, but I couldn't get the head in. I staggered, pulled my pants down more, pushed again, and it was like I bounced back. Her expensive lace panties were in the goddamn way, cock-blocking. I tried to pull them to the side, but I pulled so hard it hurt her.
Take my panties off, Ken. Move Victoria so you can get inside my secret real good.
I growled, tugged her delicate panty until it ripped away, then slapped my cock on her dampness a dozen times, made her tremble and curse. Then I pushed. She was so wet. I slid my sturdy baobab into the root, made my birthday girl sing mournful songs about the goodness of wood. But the song she sang was an ugly off-key song. She gagged, burped, told me to stop, begged me to stop, then moved away from me, hand on belly, eyes tight, in excruciating pain.
Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. What's wrong? My stomach. Bubblegut, bubblegut. Oh, God, fuck. I got the doggone belly.
She tried to run, but she could barely stand. With those heels on, she wobbled like a deer that had been hit by a semi. Her ankle twisted, and I grabbed her before she fell down. She gagged.
Take the wheel, Jesus. Take the wheel and get me to the toilet.
I helped her get up, and she staggered, doubled over, like she was suddenly in labor. She panted, stumbled like she was running a country mile up a muddy hill. She made it as far as the carpeted hallway before she lost her dinner. I was on my feet, tried to pull my pants up above my knees by the time she got to the bathroom. She had on only one high heel, limped slowly, went up and down, taut ass exposed, firm breasts bouncing. She slammed the bathroom door. Like a terrified child, she called out,
"Oh, God! Please, God! Make it stop!"
In the darkness, Rachel Redmond plopped on the toilet. Her insides exploded like the space shuttle firing up its engines, the liftoff immediate. She declared she was dying, groaned as if an evil overseer with a whip was trying to convince her that her new name was Toby. I turned the hall light on. The light flickered like a horror film, then settled. She had created dramatic artwork in colors unique to my eyes. Rachel Redmond stopped chanting out her agony and cried out,
"I need more toilet paper."
"I'm all out."
"Don't fucking fuck with me right now, Ken Swift."
"But I have a cardboard box I can tear up into small pieces."
"Then get me some damn paper towels from the kitchen."
"Gently, Bentley, I'm choking."
"Stop laughing at me."
"I'm not laughing," she screeched.
"Stop the cockamamie jokes and get the damn toilet paper."
I cracked the bathroom door wide enough to toss her a roll of Charmin two-ply, and stepped around the destruction in the hallway, took off my wrinkled pants and crinkled shirt, lobbed them onto the queen bed. Tired as hell, I dragged myself back to the kitchen, found a plastic bucket, filled it with hot water and soap, grabbed sponges and a mop, then hunted the cabinets, picked up the bleach, vinegar, and Fabuloso. Rachel sounded like she was in the middle of a terrorist attack. Bomb after bomb exploded. Prayers and pleas were sent up to a napping god. After each explosion, the toilet flushed twice. I pulled on yellow plastic gloves, went to the hall, and cleaned up a Rorschach of Chinese food, seafood, Bailey's, and shots. When I was done, she was still in the bathroom, in the middle of her war, suffering, moaning, cursing, crying out regrets. You okay in there?
Right back in the Uber.
You told the driver to drive fast as she could.
She changed lanes a lot and hit too many potholes when we got off on Crenshaw.
You told the girl to drive fast?
I think I got car sick or something. Oh, God. Hope I don't have a GI thing going on.
I cracked the windows, put the ceiling fans on low, then pulled down fresh sheets, changed the linen. A few minutes later, she was in the shower. She gargled, brushed her teeth, and staggered out of the bathroom, used the walls to keep her balance, moved bent at the belly. She begged me not to go into the bathroom before next Christmas. She crawled into my bed, embarrassed, groaned like an old woman, and pulled herself into the fetal position, swore this was her worst birthday ever, and that she'd never drink another goddamn Bailey's again. I brought her some Pepto-Bismol to cement the contents of her belly. I made her take it, then propped pillows under her to keep her head elevated. When she was settled, I took a cold washcloth and draped it across her neck to hold the regurgitation at bay. Feeling aggravated, I grabbed the bucket and cleansers and went to the bathroom. Double flushed before I lifted the lid on the commode, became Molly Maid, and cleaned up her mess. When I was done, I showered, scrubbed my body like I'd been exposed to radiation. I was in the bedroom drying off, listening to Rachel's deep breathing, making sure she didn't roll over on her back, start to regurgitate, and choke to death on my watch. Then her cell phone was on fire. I grabbed her electronic leash. The texts were in Russian. I turned the phone off, had flashbacks. I'd been through this bullshit before. Wasn't going to travel that dark road again. She was still on her back, sleeping the sleep of the ill. I didn't care. I was 2 seconds from waking her up, telling her to get out. I put her in an Uber and sent her to her ex. Enraged, fighting bad memories, not wanting that error repeated with a new face, eyes wide, I cursed. A lot of overlapping commotion erupted outside, aroused the streets. First, I heard a car in the intersection, music loud enough to rattle windows from here to the freeway that was 2 miles away. Then tires screeched as some fool burned donuts in the asphalt. I went to the window, ready to scream out at the harbingers of rudeness, but they zoomed away, went to the next intersection, and did the same. They moved on to the next block, then to the next corner. I turned my phone back on, needed to check for Esmeralda. My phone rang. It wasn't my coworker. Didn't recognize the number. Had to be Jimmy Lee or Margot, back to blowing my phone up. I didn't answer, just turned the ringer down, left vibration mode on as backup. A ghetto bird hovered over my postal code, and sirens were near. I went to the window. An ice cream truck was parked in front of the building to the east. I stopped looking at the truck when Bernice Nesbitt waved. My neighbor across the street was in her window. I saw her. And I saw bare breasts. She squeezed them. She had magnificent breasts, the kind that would make a brother start praise dancing in the name of the Lord. She was in a mood, and so was I. Alcohol had exasperated all I felt, good and bad. The Brit had seen me come back home with Rachel Redmond, and now she was challenging me, extending an invitation to keep her company. Without words, she asked me to cheat on my woman the way she had cheated her man. Fair was fair. Bernice Nesbitt didn't move away. She was daring me to cross the pond and to do it while my woman was feet away as a thrill. The Brit's fullness was incredible. Tonight, the Brit wanted some Mississippi loving. Rachel Redmond coughed. She coughed and broke the spell the Brit's Coke bottle shape had cast. When one woman disliked another, she would destroy a man so she could become the victor in a catfight. I turned, and Rachel Redmond made a sound like she was dying. Then Calamity Jane was calling hogs. I changed the cold towel I had on her neck. I shook her. She didn't move. I looked at the rise of her ass. That ass worked out twice a day, hiked, jogged, did squats, and took boxing classes. Solid ass. I traced my fingers along her beautiful skin. Whispered her name, kissed her lips, touched her nose. No response. Drunk. Dead to the world. She might as well have been on propofol. She couldn't see a hole in a 40-foot ladder and wouldn't be able to see me leave. In 2 minutes, I could accept the baton of infidelity and be inside London. Alcohol was in my blood, my moral compass offline, inebriated as I treaded in irony. London was in front of me, a woman leaving me for London behind me. Rachel Redmond had gone back to the Russian. She said it happened only once. That was the only way Rachel Redmond had been like Jimmy Lee. And that was one way too many. Bernice Nesbitt was flashing her SOS. I owed her one. She wouldn't scream. I wouldn't holler. I could say 2 tears in a bucket, sprint across the pond, be a motherfucking star boy like Jake Ellis, and feel a brand new warmth. I yanked on a pair of green ninja apparel joggers and a Skywalker hoodie, slid on a pair of Timberlands, then I eased out the front door. As soon as I made it to the bottom of the stairs, an enemy was out on Stalker, waiting. Ken? The angered voice was familiar. Ken Swift. It was hard and intellectual and carried an accent that I'd never forget. A car door closed, and the enraged figure came toward me from a parked BMW. My enemy was dressed in reds and oranges, like fire, an ethnic outfit with amazing patterns, made of finer materials, like a beautiful number one at a Bailen wedding. And with her colorful, fiery dress, she wore a scarf in a way that could make one think it was a hijab. She always wore scarves that way, loved the stylishness. She was Christian, not Muslim. At least she was Christian the last time I saw her, here. Reminded me of the Somalian women, of the Oromo girls at the Horn of Africa, and their bomb headpieces. It was Jimmy Lee, my ex-wife, the mother of my feral child. My past had returned. The chickens had come home to roost. Chapter 19. Jimmy Lee crept closer, her heels clicking as cars passed on the narrow street. She approached me like a woman who had stage fright, but the curtain was up and there was no going back. She was 20 steps away. I felt her anxiety, and I treaded in mine. Rachel was in my bed. Bernice Nesbitt lingered in her window. Crossing the pond was no longer on my mind. I'd almost done a Kevin Hart and gone Eric Benet, but fate had intruded. I faced the woman I had married, the one I used to want 10 times a day. And just like that, I was no longer 43. Once again, I was in my 20s. For a second, my face drifted into an unexpected smile. But I corrected that, became a hard 43 again. Jimmy Lee let out a nervous breath and said, "Indemenele. Dernaning. I'm fine." I struggled to speak in her language. "Indemenele. How am I? I'm blessed." "This is a surprise. But I get my Giza Kataya in." "Yes, it has been a very long time. And you still speak and understand Amharic." "But not enough to have a serious conversation with you."
"Can we talk?"
"We can talk. In English."
Jimmy Lee was 6 steps away from me. She had returned to the scene of the crime. She was 18 when I met her. Now she was 40. She had the birth date I'd never forget because it was the same as mine. Her ethnic outfit was tailored, fitted to her curves. She pulled her scarf away. She let me see her face, revealed beauty, and let me see her traveling anger etched in a level of gorgeousness not many would achieve. Her hair was long, natural, wavy, amazing. I wanted her to be bald, fat, and unattractive and have stretch marks that looked like the map of the interstate system for the USA, but time had taken care of her the way servants took care of a queen. Time had been her friend, and she couldn't pass for 18. She could pass for 20. I used to hold her ass and fill her with my desire. And at the same time, I remembered the bad times. Felt like I had last seen her as a child. Time had passed, and Pennywise the Clown had returned to bring me brand new horrors. I said, "What are you doing here in Leimert Park?"
parked in front of my building.
I tried to call you for hours, since early afternoon. My daughter called me and told me she had a reunion, and that shocked me. So I'd wanted to try and have a conversation.
Margot told you about our lunch date?
She was vague